On this 4th of July weekend, I am going to look at some of our freedoms. This part is from the side of the practitioners, how they have to give up some of their personal information in order to help clients, and also looking at how security that has been increased by the IRS to prevent fraud has been making things more difficult for practitioners. Thank you for tuning in on this holiday week.
Welcome to Tax Justice Warriors, the podcast that celebrates the work of low-income taxpayer clinics, focuses on tax controversy work, and looks at related issues in tax news. I'm your host, William Schmidt, the director of the Low Income Taxpayer Clinic at Kansas Legal Services.
So welcome to Tax Justice Warriors on this holiday week for the 4th of July. I'm going to look at a little bit of tax news that relates to politics. I'm going to look at the heightened securities that the IRS has put in place for fraud prevention that partly interferes with freedoms of the practitioners who are trying to help their clients. So this may be a shorter episode, but I hope that you get something informative from it. The episode. To begin with, the Taxpayer First Act has been signed into law by President Trump. I haven't heard that there have been any changes made since it passed the House and the Senate. I read through the text of the bill itself, and overall, I like what I've read in it. There are several comprehensive plans that the IRS is supposed to put in place, so I wonder just what timelines they will put these plans into place, such as customer service, information technology, restructuring, that I hope that all of these plans do come into place, that they bring improvements, but I also wonder how much they will cost, if they will get full funding, and just how they will be implemented. I did find various items that bring support to the low-income taxpayer clinic program that are in support of the Volunteer Income Tax Assistance Program. And overall, I think those are good items to implement. Overall, I think it was a good plan that is put into place, but now it will be interesting to see what the effects of the plan are. I did read an article that quoted Michael Desmond regarding the appeals, where by changing the name to the Independent Office of Appeals, that part of that is to be sure that there is independence for appeals from IRS counsel, that appeals is not being influenced by counsel, or that there are clear lines drawn between them. But overall, it would be nice if there were stronger changes made based on the act rather than just a name change. That I would be curious to see if there is anything else substantive that comes out from the Taxpayer First Act with regard to appeals. Also, as an item of news, the House Ways and Means Democrats have filed suit against President Trump for his tax returns. And I will say that this is certainly an issue that your stance on it may depend on which party line you're on, Republican or Democrat. That what I read regarding the Republican side is partly in line with the IRS trying to protect taxpayer information, that any disclosures, there needs to be a proper request for those documents. And looking at the Democrat side, that their view is that potentially President Trump has committed some criminal acts with regard to his taxes, or potentially some at least civil tax evasion, and they want to come to a conclusion about what that is. In discussing the lawsuit, my question would be, once those documents were disclosed, then what would the Democrats do with them? That my question would be, why not be talking to the IRS to see about auditing President Trump and whether there is any grounds for criminal investigation to be pursuing him in that fashion? I don't know. This seems to be a very divisive political minefield that I'm not sure who exactly will win in this issue, but it is certainly an interesting discussion that ties to taxes. Now, next, I wanted to turn to some areas that affect practitioners that the IRS has increased security in a couple issues, that the point has been to prevent fraud, especially for the taxpayers. But I would say that there has been an issue preventing the practitioners from helping their clients. So the first of these issues that I would turn to is that when practitioners have requested the wage and income transcripts for their clients, that they have been heavily redacted, that it often would say the first letters of whichever company that the taxpayer worked for, that different numbers may be redacted. So to some degree, unless a person knew what they were looking for, the transcript itself may be useless. And so there were some workarounds where people could request those transcripts electronically by having those sent to a secure depository from the IRS, that there are times that the IRS may potentially fax those, but it was certainly very decreased on what could be done, that if the taxpayers were needing those transcripts to file tax returns, those were likely going to be useless if they didn't know in advance what the names of the companies were or any of that to fill out the full information. So often the taxpayers were having to go to the IRS directly. Now when I am requesting transcripts online, I am able to get the full text. So I don't know if this issue has been fully resolved, but this and the next issue, those are items that affect my chapter within effectively representing your client before the IRS. As we are revising for the 8th edition, I need to get a grasp on what the current status is to update my chapter on communications from the IRS. Now, the other portion that I was referring to is when practitioners are contacting the IRS on behalf of a client, and the main way that I am using this is by calling the practitioner priority line, that when asking for information to verify everyone on the account, the IRS is asking also for the practitioner's social security number and date of birth. Now, I find this particularly frustrating because I feel this is giving too much information, especially for the practitioner. Several issues that have been raised are, what if the client, or if you are working in a law school, a teacher or volunteer, that the students may overhear your information, or just perhaps someone else in the office. Also, an issue that has been raised, I don't know if it has been confirmed, but if an individual does a Freedom of Information Act, a FOIA request, will the practitioner's social security number and date of birth show up in that request as part of the conversation with the IRS individual? Now, one alternative I would point to is that when looking up transcripts, I have it set up where the IRS texts me a six-digit number to confirm my identity that way, or when I'm working on the low-income taxpayer clinic grant report, I also enter a number from my phone using an authenticator app. To me, those are ways that the IRS can use to confirm the practitioner's identity without the practitioner having to give up their own personal information that could be used for their own identity theft violations. So I wanted to bring up those issues. Perhaps the one with wage and income transcripts has been resolved. I'm not quite clear on that issue, but definitely I know in calling the IRS, it happened to me this last week, they are still asking for social security number and birthday information from practitioners. So I thought I would mention these items with our 4th of July holiday week, Independence Day within the United States, that there are still freedoms that are at issue and being debated that are perhaps cause for concern with regard to taxes, and this is just one aspect of them. So anyway, I would like to thank you for tuning in this holiday week, and I hope that your freedoms continue and that you have had a safe and happy celebration. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Tax Justice Warriors. We have a Patreon page if you'd like to support this podcast. Providing monetary support for this podcast helps with expenses like equipment or travel to tax conferences. Supporting this podcast through Patreon comes with rewards, so check out our Patreon page. Please rate or review this podcast because positive reviews help get more people to know this podcast exists. The views expressed on this podcast are not official opinions of the IRS, the Low Income Taxpayer Clinic program, or the employers of the people who spoke on this program. Your tax situation is unique, so do not take the statements on this program as tax or legal advice. Consult with your own tax professional to provide you with specific advice on your situation. Tune in next time on Tax Justice Warriors for another interesting tax discussion.